Darren, Kerry and Sky.
Coast Radio, and this is unprecedented times, and this is an unprecedented moment that's about to happen here. A world-renowned virus hunter and an epidemiologist at the same time in the same room. Where, first of all, Professor Tulio de Oliveira, as I said, world-renowned virus hunter and virologist, joins us as per usual on a Wednesday morning. Good morning, Prof.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Darren.
And we're also joined, you might have heard a voice in the background there, by South Africa's leading epidemiologist and expert on COVID-19 vaccine, the man who can take 30 years of experience put into a PowerPoint and make the man on the street go, oh, is that how it works? Professor Salim Abdul Karim, good morning to you, Prof.
Good morning, and good morning to all of the listeners of East Coast.
It is fantastic to have both of you on the line at the same time, and because it's unprecedented, let's do this. Professor Tulio, what would a virologist want to ask an epidemiologist right now about a vaccine?
Yeah, thank you, Darren, and thank you very much, Professor Karim, to make time to talk to us. Of course, that the big news this week was about the first vaccine trial to have shown outstanding results. Yeah, and that's what we'd like to start to you, Professor Karim. Yeah, can you explain to us in a simple terms what do we know, what we do not know, and what we still need to know about the Pfizer vaccine results?
Sure, very happy to address that. So we know right now that there are well over 200 different kinds of vaccines that are being tested and developed for COVID-19. 11 of them are in very advanced clinical trials, and the Pfizer trial is the first to report results. It should be noted that these are preliminary results. The study has not been completed, and the endpoint of the study has not been completed. So we only have a press release of a general statement that the vaccine works and that the vaccine protects at a high level of protection of over 90%. So what does that mean? Let's first unpack what this vaccine is. Firstly, this is a momentous finding. I mean, in scientific terms, we would call this a game changer, not just because we have a vaccine now that's shown to protect against the coronavirus, something that we've never done before. This is the first vaccine against any coronavirus. The second is that this technology of using messenger RNA is a completely new technology. It has been showing promise for a long time, but nobody's been able to actually make a vaccine until now. And so this opens the door to many other vaccines with this technology. Yeah. It's an amazing technology. So I think that those are the sort of two major things. When it comes to what does this actually mean for us, the person on the street, it doesn't mean a lot immediately, because the first thing is that the results have to be obtained in full. We don't yet know, does it protect young people and old people equally? How long does it protect for? Does it protect against severe disease? All that still needs to be understood from the data. And then when it gets licensed, then it can be considered. But one has to be careful, because it's going to take a long time to make the many billions of doses required for the world. And also, a major drawback of this vaccine is that, well, two drawbacks. The first, it needs two doses, which is logistically a challenge. But the second is it has to be stored at minus 70 degrees. So it has to be stored in very in the kinds of freezers that you only see in laboratories and in research. So it's not something that we can sort of readily roll out. So one shouldn't get overexcited to think, no, we're going to get a vaccine in the clinic in a few months. It's going to take a lot longer.
Yeah.
And then, Professor Karim, first of all, good morning. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. What percentage of the world's population would need to be vaccinated before we could all kind of move back to, I mean, I'm saying this lightly, back to normal?
Oh, that is a big question. Now, that's a $64 million question, because we don't know the answer to it. What we do know is that herd immunity, which is a level at which you want to try and reach so that the virus has difficulty in spreading, that is achievable for this particular virus. The levels vary. So in some settings, for example, in a highly dense situation, like you would say, for example, in Johannesburg, the coverage you would need would be quite high. We don't know what that level is yet, but it would be quite high in the sort of perhaps, you know, 70-80% range. In a more rural community, you might need a much lower coverage to be achieved. So it varies depending on setting.
Okay.
There's a quick calculation we have. It's sort of back of the envelope, so you can't really make much of it. But we work it out based on R0. And based on R0, you need more or less around 60 to 65%, 70% coverage of this vaccine to get close enough to herd immunity.
Prof Karim, just quickly, in terms of South Africa, when can we expect to receive the vaccine?
Ah, that's a more complicated question. So we in South Africa have chosen and have opted to join something called COVAX. COVAX is a joint facility created for poorer countries, middle-income countries, and rich countries to participate so that all countries can benefit from a vaccine equitably. So COVAX is, you put your money into COVAX, they do the purchasing centrally from the different manufacturers that show their vaccines work, and when that vaccine is available, they distribute it equitably so that no country will get more than 20% of the vaccine for their populations until all the others have. So that we don't end up with a situation right now that we have in terms of what is known as vaccine nationalism, where countries like the US and UK have already bought up, even though they don't know whether the vaccine works, they've bought up large amounts of the vaccine. So that means that they can vaccinate their own countries and feel safe. Well, it doesn't work like that. This virus, no one is safe until everyone is safe.
100%.
So it has to be that we've got to work on it together in an equitable way.
Professor Tulio de Oliveira, our virus hunter and virologist from CRISP at UKZN. And he joins us this Wednesday morning to speak about some interesting developments in the field of COVID-19. And he's brought South Africa's leading epidemiologist and expert on the COVID-19 vaccine, Professor Salim Abdul Karim, with him as well. So far, we have learned that the Pfizer vaccine, in the last couple of weeks, we've heard about vaccine trials that have had to be halted because of side effects, and we were feeling a little bit depressed. And then the fantastic breaking news, although it is a preliminary result, the outstanding 90% efficacy of the Pfizer vaccine is very, very good news. However, we do need to state that it is preliminary. So now that we have both professors in the room, Professor Tulio, as a virologist, what's the next question you would ask Professor Karim, our epidemiologist?
Yes, thank you, Darren. Of course, I have hundreds of questions to ask Professor Karim. Yeah, anyway, we are in the same building, so we talk a lot. But I think that the question that I want to ask that's important for all the listeners, it is, what do we expect from the next 10 vaccines that are in phase 3 trial? For example, Professor Karim mentioned that this one, the Pfizer, is using a new technology called mRNA that's also been used by another vaccine from Moderna. But we also have more classical technologies that use inactivated virus that's very similar to our measles vaccines. Yeah. So just to ask Professor Karim, do you expect all these new and old technologies to all be positive and give fantastic results of Pfizer, or what can we expect in the next weeks?
So when you look at the field of vaccines, what's been a very positive feature is that we have a very wide range of different vaccine approaches that are being tested. Even in the current 11 that are in the lead, they come from very different approaches. And so the good news is that if one didn't work, we knew that we could still wait to see on how the others did. Well, now that we know that the first one works, what does it tell us about the others? Well, not that much, but one interesting observation is that the Pfizer vaccine produces similar levels of immunity in animal studies as most of the others that are currently in phase 3 trials. So if those are an indication of what makes the Pfizer vaccine successful, we are likely to see a slew of results coming out over the next 2-3 months from the other studies also showing positive results. I mean, that's just a conjecture, speculation on my part, but that's what, if I was a betting man, I would bet the other vaccines would work too.
Excellent. Prof. Tulio, any more questions?
Yeah, so just for the last one, maybe can I change a little bit gear and ask Professor Slim Karim, what did he find about the last 2 days results of positive cases in South Africa? We see a similar number of infections in the weekend as normally we see in the week, and we see an increasing positivity rate to up to 10%. Is that an anomaly, or is the first sign that a second wave may be starting?
So when we look at the overall picture for the COVID epidemic in South Africa, we are in a very good position. There is no need for us to be concerned that we are in a second wave or that we are entering a second wave. Mm-hmm. None of that is applicable at this time. What we are seeing is a lot of variability, because when you reach a level of low transmission, as we have in this country, low transmission meaning we are in the range of around 2 to 3 cases per 100,000 population per day, which is below the benchmark of 5. So when we are at low transmission, we have to expect we will see outbreaks. That's how this virus spreads. Those outbreaks occur often from super spreading events. And when you have these outbreaks, that and they are for short periods, you will see that the positivity rate of the test will go up. Don't get concerned. It's just a short-lived thing. If it is being driven by investigations of outbreaks, the positivity rate will go up, the number of cases will go up, but they will come back down. As we are seeing now in the Eastern Cape, we went up rapidly, and now it seems to be easing off. It's still too early to sort of prejudge it, but generally that's what happens. That's how this virus works.
Abdul Karim, Salim Abdul Karim, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That will be available on podcast on ecr.co.za. Pretty much good news for everyone. Can we just give a shout out to UKZN? Prof. Tulio is based in UKZN. Prof. Abdul Karim as well, based at UKZN. Dr. Mkize is at is from UKZN. Our president's wife, who is also a doctor, is from UKZN. Shout out UKZN.
I also went there.
And of course, Mary Miller, who, as we know, contributes greatly towards the super spreader events. So thank you.
Wow! Shouts fired.
But so, she's positive. But she's negative.
Thank you for keeping the positivity. Guys, how cool was that? The good professors joined us this morning. As I said, they will be on podcast on ecr.co.za. You can share that wide and far.
Darren, Carrie and Sky.